Today's Mishnah in Masechet Nega'im is Perek Aleph, and we are up to Mishnah Hey. Wow. Okay, so you remember that what we've been discussing is the question of, let me just get to it over here, the question of if you put off the Re'ias HaKohen, which comes out on a Shabbos, you're going to have to put it off according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so you put it off till the next day. That could lead you to a lot of problems, or it could lead you to a lot of solutions. So in other words, it could be either a kula or a chumra, which, as we pointed out, and it's rather obvious, things can get worse in a day or things can get better in a day. And that what the Mishnah is really doing from this point forward is it's giving us an opportunity and an excuse to go through all of the scenarios so that you can actually pass your test of the kahuna, knowing what the different things that could happen are that are going to impact the din of your psak. So, let's talk out how it could actually end up being a real help for you that your re'iyah got put off, the kohen's not going to look at you until Sunday. How does that help? Well, it's going to help like this. And we're going to go through all the possibilities of how it could help, which means we're going to talk about possible changes over Shabbos. Those changes could be in all kinds of things. So first, we're going to talk about changes in the simonim of Seir Lavan, changing in the simon of Michya Basar Chai, and changing in the din of Pisayon. Those are the three simonim of Tumah. So let's say that on Shabbos, if the Kohen had arrived, he would have had to make it to Tumah, because on Shabbos, it had Seir Lavan. But then when the Kohen was allowed to come, which was on Sunday, Halach lo Seir Lavan, the white hair disappeared, which would mean that now it's not going to be Muzgar, it's not going to be Mukhlat. Or for instance, maybe he had Seir Lavan on Shabbos and the Seir Lavan turned black. So now that it's after Shabbos, there's no more Seir Lavan. Let's say that on Shabbos, it originally had one white hair and one black hair. And then after Shabbos, by the time he gets there, both hairs are black. Okay, that's a big kula. There's no problem anymore of the nega. Let's say that the length of the hair was different. Let's say on Shabbos, the nega had two white hairs, which are arukot. Arukot doesn't mean literally long. It means they were long enough, which is a shear, as we'll see, to be able to be cut by a scissors. And they became too short, so they were still there, but they weren't the shear that were simanim. So therefore, had he come on Shabbos, the guy would have been a betzora mukhlat. Now that he comes after Shabbos, he's not. Another case, what if you had one hair that was long and one hair that was short, and both of them became short? Now, obviously, all of these cases are ridiculously repetitive. But the point over here is we are going through. That was the same idea of the 32 simanim. I mean, it's all ridiculously repetitive. But we want the Kohen to be able to handle every single situation, describe for us what he had seen originally, what he sees now, how the nega is being affected by whatever new issues he now sees. Okay, now, what if there was no change in the hair, but there were changes in the skin of the nega, so that the hair is still there? So now there are four possibilities that we're talking about. You could have a shrin, you could have a mikvah. You could have a tsareves ha-shrin, you could have a tsareves ha-mikvah. Or you could have a change in mare, which would change the din of your nega to a bohak. And a bohak is not, remember as Rashi explains it, a bohak is like the skin between freckles on freckled skin, and that is not considered to be tummy. Now, any changes in the condition of the skin surface or color that is going to affect whether these sa'arot are a simen tumah needs to be considered. What would that be? Well, first of all, obviously sa'arot are only sa'arot if they are in the or of the nega. Now, the moment that that nega turns into a shechin or a mikvah, so you get a burn there or something changed, you got a bloody wound there. That's no longer in the skin of the nega. So no, it's no longer a simen tumah. Suppose it's a tsarevet ha-shrin or tsarevet ha-mikvah. That is the type of skin covering, a thin layer of healing tissue above a shrin or a mikvah, where over there you can get a nega in that type of skin, but it's a different nega. So in that case, the original sa'ar that was there is no longer going to be metame that nega. That nega is gone. So that is not the nega that we're looking at over here. Suppose this color changed and now it turned into a bo'ak. It's also not going to be metame. That's the simplest change. But imagine these changes. You have a strip of skin that comes between the two hairs on the nega, where that strip of skin is a shrin, or a tzerevas a shrin, or a mikvah, or a tzerevas a mikvah, or a bo'ak. And now the hairs are not together in the same nega because you have a different type of skin in between. That's also a possible change. Or suppose one of these hairs is in the tzerevet and the other isn't. Or suppose you had a bo'ak that was just under one of the hairs but wasn't around the entire nega. So all of these things would affect the difference in the din between Shabbos and Sunday, and therefore we're going to put it onto this Kohen's multiple choice questions here, okay? So let's start talking about the different cases. On Shabbos, we had two white hairs in the actual area of the nega. But after Shabbos, we suddenly see that nisbach hashchin l'shteihem o le'achat mehem. So now we have either the shchin, we'll see later, we're going to go through the same thing with the mikvah, we'll go through the same thing with the tzarevas hashchin, we'll go through the same thing with the bo'ak. So we got all of these possible differences. So maybe one of these hairs is now has got a shchin under it, or both of them do. Or maybe there was just like a thin line of shchin that surrounded the two hairs, or even if it just surrounded one of them. Or maybe there was a thin line that went through the nega between the two hairs, which would make these two negayim, two separate negayim, and no longer have the simen tuma, which is two hairs that have changed color to white in the same nega. Or vary that by substituting for the word shchin a michyat hashchin. Or maybe substitute the word michva. Or substitute the word michvata, the michyata michya, or substitute the word bo'ak. So there's five different changes in skin surface or coloration that can affect you in multiple ways. The entire area could be affected. One of the hairs could be affected. They could be surrounded by. They could be divided by. So that gives us now 20 additional differences in between Shabbos and Mitzvah Shabbos, just in terms of the changes in the skin surface, besides all the changes that we spoke about before in one hair, or both hairs, or the length of the hairs, the color of the hairs, or of both hairs. Okay, so you can see how easy it is to multiply your 72 into 4,968 before you even begin, right? Okay, so these are all the differences that could be a difference of Shabbos. But that's only one tiny example, because I only gave you these differences in terms of Sa'ar Lavan. But you need to consider all of these differences in terms of Michyah, and a Michyah is a Bosar Chai in the middle of the Nega, and it will be affected in exactly the same way. So suppose the Kohen, had he been able to come on Shabbos, he would have found a Michyah. But now he comes on Sunday, and it's bye-bye Michyah, V'holcholah Michyah. Or maybe it's not bye-bye michya. Maybe the correct size of the michya changes, which is similar to the correct coloration or length of the sa'ar lavan. We also have the other problem that a michya needs to be a gris. A gris is a barleycorn, but it needs to be a square gris, not just a single gris. So it needs to be a square of a gris by a gris. In other words, it'll fit in a gris in all directions. So if it isn't, however, then it's not going to be considered to be a simen of tuma. Suppose on Shabbos it was a nice square gris, and then it became a round gris, which was not a gris and a gris in every direction. Or it became a long oval gris, and it's got the right properties in terms of the total shetach, but it doesn't have the square. So then it's no longer enough of a mikvah bazar chai. Or suppose on Shabbos it was mivutzeret. Mivutzeret means it's completely surrounded by the skin of the nega. And only then is it considered to be a simen tuma. And then after Shabbos, it's now there, but it's all the way at the edge. So on one side, it has healthy skin, not nega skin. Or maybe on Shabbos, it was one piece of Michas Basar Chai. And then when the Kohen gets there after Shabbos, it's broken up into little patches of skin which have the same area as the gris, but are no longer one a single patch. So now it's Nitpazra. These are all examples of kulas that happened because the Kohen came after Shabbos. Or suppose a shchin comes along, and the shchin actually penetrates into the area of the michya and covers the michya. So now the michya is no longer a michya because the shchin is not a michya. Or suppose the shchin actually went around the michya. Didn't go into the michya, but it separated the michya from the rest of the nega, and now it's not a michya in a nega. Okay, so then it's not a siman of tuma. Or suppose it invaded the area of the michya and thereby decreased its surface area, so that now it's not the surface area pure michya being a square gris. So that would be also a kula that would happen. Or suppose it was chilka. Suppose a line went through the michya that was a line of damaged skin, which was a shchin. So then it wouldn't be a michya because now it's separated into two parts. Now, multiply that, okay? Multiply all of these differences by, not only by shchin, which is one times all of these cases, but multiply it by, what if it was a michya shchin? What if it was a mikvah? What if it was a michya shmikvah? What if it was a boach? My gosh, we're already at 6,941. I mean, this is crazy. Okay, so all of these would have actually been additional kulas by arriving after Shabbos. Now let's start with the other siman, okay? If the Kohen would have come on Shabbos, he would have noted that the nega has spread. Hayala pisayon. But by Sunday, when the Kohen arrives, the spreading has disappeared. Okay, so now it's a kula. Good thing he was able to put it off. Or there's other changes. Maybe instead of the pisayon disappearing, the om disappears. The om is the way that we refer to the original nega. So now you've got a spreaded nega without the original nega. That's not a siman tuma. Now you're going to have to start all over again and see if the spreading nega is a nega on its own. So maybe the om disappeared. Or maybe they were just made smaller so that the nega and together with the pisoyon is less than the size of a gris. Or suppose now a shchin. Well, we might as well all do it together, okay? So a shchin, a michas, a shchin, a michvah, a michas, a michvah, a boach. So suppose any of those cases separate now between the original om and the spreading and the pisoyon. So then the nega is not considered to be a spreading because now it's like a new nega, because it's got this little strip of shchin, michas, a shchin, michya, michvah, a michya, and a boach, and so on. Anyway, all of the above cases are the cases where things got better after Shabbos. Now, of course, there's another 9,462 cases where things could get worse. So we can do all of this in the inverse and then multiply our 36 into 72 cubed. Anyway, so we'll talk about that Mishnah when we get to finish up the Perek with the opposites. Okay. There we go. So suddenly Negayim looks much less forbidding, doesn't it, than it did originally. And it's beautiful how Rabbeinu HaKadosh was able to put like all of the various dinim in this humorous way right into the original perek so that you feel, okay, I'm basically now a bucky. At least I know all of the inyanim, the different colors, the different simanim of tuma, the shiurim. I know exactly what could possibly change and so on and so forth. It's truly amazing. It's the kind of perek that throws you into the deep and you come out feeling all wet and refreshed. So we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Kol Tov, everyone. Be you draws.